Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Daf Memhei. We are at the two dots, which is 9 lines from the top of the Amid. Says the Gemara V'chol HaYoytzen LaHatzel Choyzron LeMekayman. The Mishnah concluded with this statement: all those that go out on a rescue mission, Choyzron LeMekayman, they can go back, LeMekayman, which implies all the way back home. Says the Gemara V'afilu Tuva, even if it involves traveling more than the Yeshir of 2,000 Amah, V'Amr's Resha, Alpayim Amah V'Suloi, you've just told me in the first part of the Mishnah, these people are granted a radius of 2,000 in each direction. They can't walk more than 2,000. Omar Vidom Arav, Shechoyzrim Bekle Zayin L'mkoyman. It doesn't mean to say they can walk more than 2,000. Rather, they can go back home with their weapons due to their ongoing danger, as the Morrison will explain. So certainly they're limited to 2,000 radius. When it comes to weapons, Kol Yoytzim LaHatzel, they can go back home with their weapons. Says Ramai Kushi, what was your kasha to begin with? Dilma LaHatzel Shani. Perhaps there's a difference between those that are going to do a mitzvah, to say the Eidus and Bezdin, or a midwife coming to assist in childbirth, who only have a shear of 2,000 amah in either direction. In contrast to these people that are coming to LaHatzel, to defend from invaders, perhaps here it's different due to the ongoing danger. They may go back all the way home, even if it's more than 2,000 Am. So what was your kasha to begin with between the first part of the Mishnah, which gives them only 2,000, and the last part, which allows them to walk even more, perhaps? That's because of the ongoing danger involved. Elo ikasha ha-kasha. Rather, if anything, this was the kasha. Desnan barishoyna lo yoyozozen misham kol yom kule. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us, initially, when the Edim came to testify, they saw a new moon. So when they came to the Bezin, since they had traveled more than the Trum on Shabbos, so although they can arrive there, they're allowed to travel to the Bezin, but once they get there, these people were Yaitzei Chos HaTrum. They're limited. And they couldn't leave that area an entire day. Hiskin Ragamlil HaZokin, he enacted a special takana as not to dissuade people from coming to the Edus. Therefore, he made a takana sheyesh lam apayim amah l'chol ruach. They attain 2,000 in all directions. This is a special takana. V'la'elu b'vad. Not only these people that are coming to testify about the new moon. V'la'elu b'vad omru ela afilu chachoma abad liyalid. Even a midwife which is coming to aid in childbirth. Ba'bola hatzel min hagayis. One who is coming to defend from invaders. Min hanor, from a flood. Min hapilis, a collapsed building. Min hadleke, from a fire. All these people, due to the fact that they're coming for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, so even if they have traveled past the Tchum, we give them 2,000 Amah. Harayenka and She'ir, they're considered like everybody else in the city. V'yesh l'apayim Amah l'choruach, and they're granted 2,000 Amah in all directions. So Mishnah here clearly tells us, in this list we have the one that's coming to L'Hatzel Min HaGayis, coming to rescue, defend from the invaders. And he's only granted, how much? 2,000 Amah. V'suloi, only 2,000, and no more. V'amris, you have said, in the Mishnah Erevin, kol yoytzen lahatzel, choyzen l'mekoyman. Ah, filu tuva. Those that go on a rescue mission to defend from invaders, they're allowed to go back all the way home, even if it involves more than 2,000. So this is a kasha. The kasha between our Mishnah, which allows them more than 2,000. In contrast to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which limits them to 2,000. Amar Vida Marav, Shechoyzrim Bekleizayim Koyman. Says Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, our Mishnah never meant to say they have more than 2,000. They can't go all the way back home if it involves traveling more than 2,000. Rather, the Mishnah is simply saying that we allow them to go back home carrying their weapons. Why is that necessary? Kedesanya. But Roshoyna, initially, when they were done defending, Hayomanichen Kleizayinon, Bebayis Asam Chochayim, they would leave their weapons in the first house near the Chayma. They would leave them there so that they wouldn't travel with them back home, carry them outside, the interest of Ravim, Karmelis. Pamachas, one time, what happened was, Ikiru ben Oivim. So when they left the weapons in this home, and they started heading back home, the enemies detected them as they were leaving the city, and they started pursuing them. So they had to go back to find their weapons from that home. So they went back into the home to get their weapons. That was a small, narrow area. And the enemies followed them. They pushed each other around. A stampede ensued. And this resulted in them killing more of each other, more than the enemies killed. At that point, they were masakin. They should go back home carrying their weapons. So this is what Ravido Rav was referring to. The Mishnah tells us, all those that are out on a rescue mission, go back home with your weapons. But certainly when it comes to the actual tchum allowance, they're only allowed a share of 2,000 and no more. So we had a kasha between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Shoshana. The conclusion was, when it comes to tchum, it's only 2,000. Our Mishnah is simply adding another element. They should go back home with their weapons. From Nachum Yitzchak Omar, he has another terrace to the kasha. Our Mishnah, which seems to imply chayzul mekayimah and go back home, even if it involves traveling more than 2,000. In contrast with the Mishnah Shoshana, which grants them only 2,000. You know what the answer is? Depending on the result of the war. Like kasha, the answer is like this. Kasha nitzchu Yisrael esumas oilam. When the Yisrael were victorious over the Goyim, in that case, there's no need for them to travel more than 2,000. Khan, our Mishnah, which allows them to travel more, is speaking about Shenitzchu Omus Oilam Atzmon. The Goyim defeated themselves. It's a euphemism, meaning the Israel lost the war, in which case there's still some danger present there. It's an ongoing sakana, therefore our Mishnah says, Chayzul Mekayman, then go all the way back home, even if it involves traveling more than 2,000 Amah. So, in conclusion, in terms of the Tchum, the Gemara tells us it depends on the result of the war. If the Israelim were victorious, they only have 2,000. Otherwise, they can go all the way back home. In addition to that, the Gemara says they can carry home their weapons. Amar Bidam Arav, Nochrim Shetzoral or Ayoris Yisrael. If Nochrim laid a siege on the cities of Yisrael, Ein Yoitzin Aleim B'chlei Zainan. One is not allowed to confront them with weapons, to endanger yourself unnecessarily. Nor can they be mechal Shabbos to defend the city. Tani nami hachi. We learned likewise in the Brisa. Nocham shetzor v'chulu. That you're not meant to confront them with weapons, nor to be mechal Shabbos for this purpose. Explains the Brisa. When is this said? That's only when there's no bodily danger involved. Kshebo al iske mamon. When the Nachum only arrived with financial interests in mind, they came to loot, to rob, in which case you're not meant to confront them with weapons nor to be Mechal HaShabbos, since there's no real sakanas nefashis. Aval bol is get nefashis. However, if they came to actually threaten the Israelim, Yoitzim aleim b'chlei zayin, in this case, the sakanas nefashis, and you're meant to go out and confront them with weapons, u'mechal aleim HaShabbos, and also to be Mechal HaShabbos, it's Ruach Nefesh. Continues the Gemara. U'b'ir ha-smuch al-sfar. Let's say the city that was besieged is a city which is near the border. It's between the place where the Israel live and the Nachron live. In this case, due to its strategic location, it's more crucial, it's vital to defend the city properly, lest it fall in the hands of the Nachron and perhaps pave the way, make the rest of the country vulnerable to our attack. Therefore, in this case, Ubir Asmuchel Asfar, a city which is near the border, Afilu Leibo Aliska Nefashis, even if they know with certainty the Goyim did not come to personally threaten them, Ela Aliska Tevin Vakash, merely to grab some hay, some straw. It's only a financial interest here. Yoitzin Aleim Chlei Zainan, even in this case, they go confront them with weapons, U'mechalin aleinas ha-Shabbos, and they're mechal ha-Shabbos, because Ezo chacham arois ha-Noel is meant to look ahead. And since this can lead to pekuach nefesh, we're meant to stop it right here. Omar Rav Yosef bar Ben Yumi, Omar Rav Nachman, U'bavel, there's a location in Bavel, Ki'ir ha-Smuchel esfar Adamya, which is like a city next to the border. What is that? V'tirgumun ha-Ardo, He was referring to this town of Narda, which was situated in between the area of the Yisraelim and the Nachrim. So it has a din like a border city, and you want to defend it at all costs. Let's take a look at Rashi. So right on the, off to the right side, we have the Rashi, which begins with the words, Ein Yotz Naleim. So not meant to confront them with weapons, because the fire shall come on, as the Gemara soon will explain. K'shabo Nachrim aliske mamin. If the Goyim only arrived with mamin interests, then we're not meant to defend it to the extent of confronting them with weapons, or be Mechal Shabbos. However, if it's a city which is smucha l'sfar, says Rashi, l'sfar ir shemav deles ben gvul Yisrael gvul omois. If it's between the boundary of the Yisrael and the umois, yoytz aleim, then they go out and attack them. Shemil kudua, perhaps they'll conquer the city, umisham, tei noicha eretz l'kavish lefneim. Perhaps this will make the rest of the eretz vulnerable for attack. Now, what type of city in Bavel? Tirguma ezu ir be Bavel. That was smuchel asvar. That was Narda. Shoyse smuchel anachrim mitzad echad. It was situated next to the Nachrim on one side. Yarois sheyoshem bnei goyim mitzad sheni. On the other side, you had the Yisraelim sitting, and therefore had a category. It was categorized as a border city. Darash Rav Dostoi de Min Beri. Says the Gemara will bring a riot to this concept that this type of city is meant to be defended to this extent. Dorash Rabbi Destoy de Min Beri. Maidich Siv. How do we understand the pasuk which says, Vayagidu le David lemer? They inform David as follows. Hine plishtim nilchamim bekeila. Look, the plishtim are battling in the town of Keila. Vayim ashoisim asagronis. And they're looting the granaries. Tana we learned in Braisa, Keila, ir hasmuch al esfar hoisa. It was this type of border city. And the plishtim only arrived with financial interest in mind, to loot some tevin, some kash. That was their interest, to loot the granaries. Uksiv, vayishal David Hashem lemar. Hashem asked, David asked by Hashem, meaning through the Urim Batum, the Choshe Mishpat of the Kohen Gadol. So he asked the following question, ha'elich, v'yikisiv ha'plishtim ha'elich, shall I go strike at these plishtim? Shall I go make war? David, Lech v'kisav aplishtim, go, strike at them. Vayishatas keila, and you're going to rescue keila. Says Zimra, my kumeboyli. What exactly was David Hamelch's question here? So we're speaking about it was Shabbos, perhaps. Ilema ishari yaser. It was Shabbos. He wanted to know whether he's allowed to wage war when they knew with certainty that their interest was only financial. So that was the question he was asking the Urim Ritumim. Halacha Shaila, we're not meant to ask the Urim Ritumim. Torah says, Leiba Shemayimi. Torah's not in heaven. You can't determine halacha by asking the Kohen Gadol's Urim Ritumim. Harei Beis Dino Yishal Shmuel or Masi Kayim. The Bezdin of Shmuel was functioning. We meant to go ask the Bezdin halacha question. So that couldn't be the Shaila. Ella, rather, what was the question? Yimatzlach Iloy Matzlach. His question was, I know you're allowed to, but am I going to be successful? And that's what he was asking the Urim Ritumim. Im Matzlach, am I going to be successful? Iloy Matzlach or not? Deikanavi, we see from the response, Hashem's response, what exactly his question was. Dechsev, Leich v'yikisev aplishtim, v'yishat eskila. Hashem responded, go and strike at the plishtim, and you'll be successful. You're going to rescue Keila. Shema mina. Apparently, that was his question. Am I going to be successful? Hashem responded in the affirmative. But certainly, David HaMelech knew that one is meant to confront them with weapons, even though it involves endangering oneself because this was a border city. Number two, he also knew that this was mutter to be done on Shabbos. His question only was regarding the success of his mission. Hashem responded, yes, he will be successful. So in summary, we learned that ones who go out to protect others from invaders, yoytzim lahatzel. They're meant to go back home with their weapons. Chayzim b'klei zayin. What about the amount of space, area they can travel? So that depends. If the Israelim were victorious, nitzchu Yisrael, then they only have a share of 2,000. However, loy nitzchu Yisrael, if the Yidden were not victorious, then they may go back all the way home, even if it involves traveling more than 2,000. Gemara concluded, if they nochram would soru al Yoros Yisrael, they laid siege on the Jewish cities, then who meant to go confront them with weapons, Mechal HaShabbos, and the following two certain scenarios. Either if they came al Iske Nefashis to personally threaten the Israelim, or if it was an Ira Smuchal Asfar border city, in which case, in any event, it meant to go out and defend it even on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Mishi Yoshe Baderach, this person was traveling, decided to take a rest, he sat down, and after a while, after Shabbos arrives, Va'amad V'ro Haru Samach Le'ir, he gets up and he realizes, look, I was in the tomb of a city. And he didn't know this during Ben HaShemashis. So what's the halach? Does he only get 2,000 amos in all directions from his current location? Or do we say perhaps since he was within the tomb, the boundary of the city, he has the din like a city resident who's allowed to walk throughout the city and also at a radius of 2,000 around that city? Says the Mishnah, Hoyu v'loy hoyso kavanos lekach. Since he had no intention, he had no kavana to become part of that city, lo yikanes, he cannot go in, meaning he only has 2,000 amma in all directions. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer yikanes. Even if he is totally unaware that he was near the city, he can go into the city, meaning he can regard himself like all the other residents of that city, who to them, the city is like 4 amas. It's not calculated as part of the tchum. In addition to that, they have a 2,000 amma radius around that city. Omer Yehuda, I'll prove it to you. Ma'asahaya, it was actually a story. V'nichnas Rabbi Tarfon b'lei miskaven. This very thing happened to Rabbi Tarfon, that he was sitting near a city. It got dark, and then he got up, and he says, well, I'm near a city. And what happened was, he went into the city, and he regarded himself like everybody else. Continues Umar Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, which provides us more details of this story. Amar Yehuda, Mas Rav Tarfon. There was a story of Rav Tarfon, Shoyim Malach Baderech, who was traveling on the road. V'chosh Chaloi, and it got dark Friday night. V'lon Chutz La'ir. He spent his night outside the city. They didn't have lights in those days. He didn't know that he was near a city. L'shachris, Matzu Reyu Bakar. In the morning, these shepherds found him. Amar Loi, and they told him, Rabbi, Haria Ir Lefanecha Yikonis. Welcome, come to the town. Nichnas, indeed, he went in. V'yosha Beis HaMedrash V'dorash Kol Yom Kulo. And he arrived to the Beis Medrash and he sat and gave a drush the entire day. So we see, although he was unaware of his whereabouts, he considered himself, he granted to himself the same halacha as all the other inhabitants of the city. Amar Loi Misham Raya, said the responder of Yehuda, how could he bring a raya from there? Perhaps he knew that he was near the city and he intended on being part of that city. Or perhaps you know how he got to the Beis Medrash? Because it was within 2,000 amma of his present location. That's not to say that he'll get the tchum of the city. He has 2,000 either direction. The Beis Medrash so happened to be located within that 2,000 amma limit. So in summary, according to Rav Meir, in order to attain the status of the tchum, just like the other members of that town, he needs to know that he's there. He needs to connect himself to the city. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's there, if he's within the tchum, it's automatic. Rabbi Yehuda says, a tchum of a city is like an extension of the city. If you're within the tchum, it's like you're within the city. You don't have to know about it. You don't have to be aware about it. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, the tchum is like an extension of the residence, the residency of that city. So, if you're part of that city, if you know, if you connect yourself to the residential aspect of that city, then sure, you're included in that din. But if you're unaware of your location, and you don't personally, that personal element, the personal factor is not there, then you don't have a din like all the other people of that city. Rather, you get your own tchum, which is 2,000 amma in all directions. Continues the next Mishnah. Mishi Yosha Maderech. So this person was asleep during Ben HaShemashis. He was traveling, sat down for a nap, and he slept throughout Ben HaShemashis. V'liyoda shechashecha, or v'liyoda at shechashecha, and He only woke up, he became aware of what's going on after nightfall. So during Ben HaShemashos, he was asleep. What happens there? Does he get a Shvisa? Does it become his Shabbos residence and 2,000 Naman in all directions are considered to be his Tchum? Or, since he wasn't aware, he wasn't awake, during Ben HaShemashos, he didn't have the ability to acquire Shvisa. And therefore he's limited to 4 Amos. He doesn't have a Tchum. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Le Alpayim Amo, L'chol Ruach, this fellow attained your standard Shvisa, and he gets 2,000 in all directions. Divrei Rabbi Yechman Nuri, who holds even if a person is asleep, he gets a Tchum. V'chacham Oimrim, no, Ein Le Ela Arba Amos, he doesn't get 2,000 in all directions. He was asleep. He cannot be Koiner Shvisa, he can't acquire. It's an acquisition. He can't acquire it when he's asleep. And therefore, he's like a person without a Tchum, and he gets 4 Amos, that's his personal space, but no more than that. That's one machlekes. Now, a person that has 4 Amos, whether it's in this case according to Chachamim, or as we mentioned in the beginning of the Perek, a person actually left his Tchum, in which case he only has 4 Amos. In any of these situations, where are those 4 Amos? Which direction? Have a machlekes. Rav Lezer Omer, v'hu be'em tzon. We apply the formula of v'hu be'em tzon. He's right in the middle. It's 2 Amos in either direction. Rabbi Omer, no. He can choose any 4 Amos in any directions. Whether it's this side or that side, not necessarily is he tied to any specific 4 Amos. However, Rabbi Yehuda certainly would agree. Once he makes that choice, okay, I'm going to use the 4 Amos to the east. He can't change his mind. That becomes established as his 4 Amos for the entire Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say we have 2 people that got stuck out in the wilderness, and each one has 4 Amos for his personal use. So we have Reuven, we have Shimon, and 6 Amos in between. So if Reuven chooses the 4 Amos which are facing Shimon, and Shimon likewise chooses that his 4 Amos will be 4 Amos facing Reuven. So it turns out that the middle 2 Amos overlapping are shared. Says the Mishnah, "How you shnayim? If we have 2 people, miktsas amos of shalze, b'sech amos of shalze. A portion of this one's amos are overlapped, are embedded in a portion of the other person's amos, so they share the middle 2 amos. Mevin v'echem be'emtza, they can bring their food and eat right in the middle, in that shared space. Let's take a look at Rashi before we turn the page. Rashi 3 lines from the bottom." Masnisin ein lo elo dal damis. This was the case of the person who was asleep during Ben HaShemashos. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says he gets 2,000 amos in all directions, whereas the Chacham say no, he wasn't awake, he doesn't get shvisa, he only gets 4 amos. Says Rashi, hoyel v'yoshen hoyel, since he was asleep, then his kavel liknei shvisa. He had no intention to acquire shvisa, so he doesn't get the tchum. So now once he has 4 amos, let's analyze how does that work. Rav Lezer says, "Vubem tzoyin." He's right in the middle. Sholdal damis kolaymar beiz amish yeshel chotzidav. He has 4 amis in either direction. Rav Yehuda says, "Lezer roch sheyirtze." He told dal damis. He can choose any one that he'd like. Va'acha shibir loyel tzadze. Once he chooses the 4 amis in one direction, en yochel achsa. V'livro tzad acher. He can no longer choose in the other direction. Hayushnayim. We have 2 people. Oindim. Zeh rochim gezeh, who are situated. Zeh rochim gezeh vav amis. Situated 6 amos apart, the mevlon beis amish kolechad b'shoshal chaveri, which results in 2 of those amos being shared. So what can they do? Mevin v'oichlan, they bring their food and they eat right in the middle b'soich oisin beis amos, which is their shared territory. Continues the Mishnah. Ubavad, but they must make sure shelo yoytzi ze metoich shel chaveri, that must make sure not to transfer anything into their other person's territory, meaning they can only share those 2 amos. But when they're there, they shouldn't mistakenly transfer something over to his friend's territory. As Rashi explains, because the 4 amos here are considered your personal space. It's like a Rosh Hashayachid. So you don't mean literally it's an enclosed area like Rosh Hashayachid, but the Rabban, they granted it a status of it's your personal space. It's your Rosh Hashayachid, and therefore You must keep your utensils within your space, within your area. You can't go ahead and transfer over to the other person's area. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say there were three people there. So it was Reuven all the way on one side, Shimon all the way on the other, with eight amas in between. And there was a third party, Levi, who was smack in the middle. He occupied the middle four amas, in which case he was sharing two amas with Reuven, two amas with Shimon. And the middle fellow, Levi, was embedded right in between them. Who mutar iman? He can go ahead and interact with them. He can go transfer back and forth with them, meaning the two amas which he shares with Reuven, he can transfer things with Reuven. And the two amas which he shares with Shimon, he can go ahead and interact with Shimon and transfer things back and forth. And they can interact with him as well. However, the two outer ones, Reuven and Shimon, who are too far apart, they can't go ahead and transfer to each other because they're too far apart. They don't share any territory. Amar Reb Shimon, l'mad av adayma. What is this similar to the following scenario? L'shalosh chatzeres ha'psucho zelizu. If there are three chatzeres open to each other, so we have a straight line of three courtyards, A, B, and C, and they're all open to each other. A is open to B, B is open to C. U'psucho zeshusarab. And each one of them has their separate independent entrance or exit to shusarab. Irvu shtayim ha'metzoyis. Let's say A and C made an eruv with B, with the middle one. So that allows them to transfer back and forth to the middle one. He mutaris imohen. So the middle one, which is C, is allowed to transfer to them. Vehe mutaris imo. And they're allowed to transfer to the middle one, because they have their eruv with each other. However, shtayim ha'chitzoinis, but the two outer ones, A and C, have no eruv with each other. So it's a peculiar situation. They have an eruv with the middle fellow, but they don't have eruv with each other. So asur zoimzu, they cannot transfer one from the other. Meaning, a kli that began in this chaser cannot end up in this chaser, because they have no eruv to allow transferring from the two chaseris at the extreme end of this line. So this is reminiscent of the case in our Mishnah. We have three fellows, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. They share territory with Levi, so they can interact with him. He can interact with them, but they, Reuven and Shimon, cannot interact with each other. So in summary, we learned that a person who is asleep during Mashmashes, according to the Chachamim, he was not kind of Shvisa because he wasn't aware and awake in order to acquire that Tchum. He only has four Amis. As the Mishnah elaborates exactly how that works, whether he's in the middle, whether he can choose in either direction, three people together, two people together, according to Rabbi Yechon Ben-Nuri, although he was asleep, he will acquire Eden Shvisa, he will get 2,000 Amma in all directions. The one is going to analyze, what is Rabbi Yechon Ben-Nuri's Svara? Boi Rava. Ma'ikah Sova Rabbi Yechon Ben-Nuri. What is the reason for that Shita, that a person who's asleep can acquire Shvisa? On the one hand, perhaps you can say, Mizber Kasavar, he holds, Chefzi Hefker Koin Shvisa. Even something which is Hefker can acquire Shvisa. Now we know that just as a person gets Shvisa, he gets a Shabbos residence, and a Tchum around his residence at a radius of 2,000 Amma, his possessions as well can only be transferred throughout the area where the person can walk. So a person and his possessions are bound by the boundaries of the Tchum. What about Hefker, something which is ownerless? Does that get a Tchum? If you find something in the street, can that be transferred out of its 2,000 Amma? For instance, if the person who finds it made an error of Tchum and he can walk all the way in the other direction, can he take that item that he finds and transfer it out of its 2,000 Amma radius? Does a chayfet which is hefker acquire shvis or not? Says the Gemara, let's analyze. Is Rabbi Yechon Ben-Nuri who says that a person who's asleep doing Mashmashes gets shvis? Does he mean to say that cheftzi hefker koin shvis, even something which is ownerless, which is like this person who is not aware of what's going on, he didn't consciously acquire shvis, he's like a chayfet of hefker. And Rabbi Yochanan says he's kind of shvisa. So perhaps even a half kochavitz will get shvisa. Let's take a look at Rashi. Just about in the middle of the Amid, of the column of Rashi, beginning with the word Gemara. It says Rashi chefze hefka kelim she'en lem bailim, ownerless items. V'chashech lehem mokem echad, they were sitting at a certain location. It got dark. Perhaps are they kind of shvisa? Af agav shleinu skavlem adam, not kind of shvisa. Even though there was no owner, there was nobody there to grant them shvisa. Kind of shvisa b'mkayman, they are still kind of shvisa. V'ena dem yochel l'talchel m'sham yosim apayim chol ruach. What is the ramification of shvisa by the hefker? A person who goes and finds it cannot go ahead and transfer it more than 2,000 in any direction. Even if he personally made an erev which allows him to walk 4,000 amma to the east, let's say, he can't pick up this item and transfer it to that location because this item is bound by its own personal shvisa, which is a radius of 2,000. So that's one side of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. So if that's the case, the Rav Yochanan holds that even a hefker item is kind of shvisa. Ubedinu the liflug bekelim. Now, truthfully, if that's the case, then the Mishnah could have established the machlokes by a kli, meaning that any kli sitting out in the open, according to Rav Yochanan Ben Uri, is kind of shvisa. V'adu kamiflugi ba'adam. Why do they have their machlokes specifically when it comes to a person who's asleep, and not concerning a kli which is hefker? La'idiachal kaychan derabbanan. This was meant to highlight the sheet of the Rabbanan, the afagav the ikal lemeima, because a person involves a greater chiddush. When you say that a person who's asleep doesn't get shvisa, that's a tremendous chiddush according to Rabbanan, because there's room to think otherwise. Afagav the ikal lemeima, even though you can say hayav anir kana, since had this person have been awake, conscious and aware of his whereabouts, he would have certainly been kind of shvisa. So perhaps due to that, yoshinamikan, even when he's asleep, he'll still be kind of because he's a person. He has the ability to acquire shvisa. Additionally, the presumption here is that he wants shvisa. So there's that implicit consent here. So that's the chiddush. Kamash malah and deloy. The Mishnah informs us, no, according to Rabban, if he wasn't aware, if he wasn't conscious, if he wasn't awake, he doesn't get shvisa. That's one side of the equation. That Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's halacha applies even to a chevetz hefka. It gets its shvisa. The reason why we discussed the person was to highlight the Rabbanu Shit. Even a person will not get shvisa. And certainly a kli hefker won't get shvisa. Oiduma, or perhaps, on the other side of the coin, we can say, Kasav Rabbi Yechem Nuri Ba'alma, generally speaking, he holds hefker and kain shvisa. Something which is hefker cannot get shvisa. Only a person, only something which belongs to a person, has shvisa. The pasuk says, "Al yetsa ish mim koymai b'yom haShabbos." A person is not meant to leave his boundaries on Shabbos. A person, his utensils, something that relates to people, but something which is hefker, it's ownerless. There's no shvisa when it comes to hefker. So that's agreed upon by all. The discussion merely pertains to a person. A person who's asleep. V'achayin yotayma. And over here, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan says that a person who's asleep gets shvisa, due to the fact that he's a person. Hoyo v'nir kana, since had he been awake, he would have been kana, right? So based on that, we say, yashanami kana, even when he's asleep, he has the ability to be kana eshris. So that's the shayla here. The Mishnah discusses a person who's asleep during ben hashmashes, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, he acquires shvisa, he gets 2,000 in all directions. According to Rabban, he does not. The question is, what is the time of Rabbi Yochanan? Is it because he holds that even a hefker object gets shvisa? You don't have to have any awareness, any das. He'll get shvisa. And the reason why they discussed the person was to highlight the Rabbanan's opinion. Rabbanan holds hefker doesn't get shvisa. And even a person, since he wasn't consciously aware of his whereabouts, he wasn't consciously aware that it's been a shmashes and he'd like to be kind of shvisa, he doesn't get shvisa. That's one side of the coin. The other side, perhaps, no, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that merely a chayfetz of hefker won't be kinyan shvisa. It's only a person who is a bar shvisa, he's a bar das, he has the ability to make a kinyan. It's only over there. And even if he's asleep, because he's still the same person. There's an implicit consent that he wants that, he would like that shvisa. And since he has the ability to be kinyan shvisa, even if he happens to be asleep, going to Rabbi Yochanan, he's kinyan shvisa. Or he's going to Rabbanan, since he's practically asleep and unaware, he won't get shvisa. So that's being a raya, whether or not Rabbi Yechon holds that a hefker thing will get shvisa. Amar Rabbi Yosef Tashma, bring a raya from the following halacha. Geshamim sheyardu me'erev yantiv. If it rained on Erev Yantiv, so that water, yesh lehem apayim amal chol rach, they can be transferred at a radius of 2,000. They attain shvisa. Even though they were ownerless, nobody owned them. Be Yantiv, if it rained on Yantiv itself, in which case it was not down here during Ben Hashmashes, so it didn't really acquire shvisa. Harehen kiraga kol adam. Anybody who picks up this water can transfer it to where he can walk, because the rain itself doesn't have its own boundary. So that's halacha. Let's analyze. Iyamas b'shleima. Now this works well if you say kasavar b'yecha menuri. So if you say that according to him, even something which is hefker gets shvisa. Apparently he holds that even something which is hefker and currently not owned, but we know that the whole world was created for personal use. In fact, the Rashi at the end of Masechet Beitza, which says that a person draws water, he's speaking about a well which belongs to partners. He says that when you draw your bucket of water, min hashamayim, it's been revealed, this was intended for you. It's like right out of a Musa Sefer. Hashkoch HaPratis. This was meant for you. This was destined for your personal use. So apparently, Rechon holds even something which is currently Hefker. It's meant for personal use. It's meant for a person to get a hold of it. So it already has, it contains that personal element, and therefore, it gets Shvisa. So that's the case. If you propose a Kondi Rechon Hefker gets Shvisa, then we understand the Pshan is Braisa. Hamani Rechoni. Apparently, this Braisa which says that if it rained Erev Yantav, that water must be kept within the limits of 2,000. That's because although it was Hefker, it gets Shvisa. Eli Yamas Hefzi Hefker Enkoin Shvisa. However, if you say that according to Bjechan, Hefker doesn't get Shvisa, Hamani. Whose opinion is this price following? Lord Bjechanan. It's following neither Bjechanan, Lord Rabbanan, nor Rabbanan, who certainly don't hold that Hefker gets Shvisa. So we seem to have a clear raya. Then indeed, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even Hefker gets Shvisa. So Hefker gets Shvisa, and certainly a person who's asleep gets Shvisa. Whereas according to Rabbanan, not only does Hefker not get Shvisa, but even a person who's Yashin during Rosh Hashanah and not aware, it does not get his Shvisa, merely limited to the farmers. So this was the writer of Yosef brought. Yosef Abayi, so Abayi was sitting in Ka'amalol HaShmaita, Abayi was Rabbi Yosef's Talmud, so he was sitting and saying over this Bryce and this Raya to prove the point. Amalei Rav Safra Labaye. So Rav Safra challenged this Raya. You're proposing according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, Hefker gets Shvisa? What's your Raya? And the fact that Bryce says, if it rained on Erev Yomtiv, it's limited to a tchum of 2,000. Says Rav Safra, V'dilma, B'kshamim hasuchim li'raskinim. Perhaps we're speaking about this rain, which was within the vicinity of the city. And it was destined to be used by the people of the city. They've designated this water for their personal use, in which case, it certainly gets Shvisa because they're granting Shvisa. It's connected to them. It's intended for their use. So it gets the Shvisa of the resident of that town. That's not your typical Hefker, something you're sitting out in the wilderness, not intended to be used by anybody in specific. Where according to Rabbi Yochanan, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that wouldn't have shvisa. You can't bring a raya from rain near the city to a regular hefker. Amar lei. So Abayi responded, you can't say that. Lo yisal gadaitach. You can't say that the basis for this halacha is because it's next to the city. It's intended for their personal use. But a typical hefker will not have a tchum according to Rabbi Yochanan. Because we have a Mishnah and another braisa. And the sum total of that equation will prove to us that indeed according to Rabbi Yochanan, Hefker gets Shvisa. That's not. Boishol Yochid, Keragli Yochid. The water in a privately owned well can only be transferred Keragli Yochid as far as that owner can walk, because it's his possession. Shel Oseir. A well which belongs to the dwellers of the city, a public well, Keragli Oseir, can be transferred to where the people of the city can go, meaning throughout the city, and 2,000 beyond. V'shel oili bavel, this is the third level, this is completely hefker. It's on the way up from bavel to Yisrael. It's meant to be used by the wayfarers. It's hefker. Kiragu mali. The water there is not bound by anything. It's free. It's meant to be transferred to where the person who's actually filling out water can walk. It's up to him. So what do we see here? That hefker does not get shvisa. Otherwise, this water would be limited to its 2,000 radius. V'tanya, however, we have another brisa. Barshal shvatim, this is well which belongs to the tribes, meaning it's totally hefker. This water can be transferred only throughout this area of 2,000, in either direction. Apparently, it attained the shvisa during Mi'an HaShemoshes. Kashna dodi, we have a stira between Mishnah number one, which says the hefker water is unrestricted, doesn't have a shvisa, and the brisa here, which tells us that hefker water is restricted to a tchum of 2,000. Ella lashma, I apparently conclude from this, there are two opinions here. Horabi Chamanuri, that the brisa, which tells us that the water is limited to 2,000, is Rabbi Chamanuri, who holds that hefker gets shvisa. Harabanan, in contrast to the Mishnah, which is following Shittas Rabbanan, who hold that hefker does not have shvisa. So I have a very clear raya, says Abayi, that according to Rabbi Chamanuri, indeed, hefker gets shvisa. Okay, that was the end of that conversation. Ki asal kamei de Rav Yosef, when Abayi returned to Rav Yosef, Amalei, he related to him, Rav Yosef was the one who had proved from the story, from the brisa of Gishamim, the Gishamim that came down to Rav Yom Tov, that have a share of 2,000, he proved from there that Rav Yechamanuri holds hefka gets shvisa. So he came back to Rav Yosef, Amalei, and he told him, Hochi ka Amar of Safra, Vochi Hadulei, when I presented your raya from the Halach of Gishamim, this is what Rav Safra challenged. Vachi Hadulei, and this is what I responded to him. I brought him a raya from the halacha of the bur to support your contention that according to Rabbi Chamanuri, you have to get shvisa. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef responded to Abayi. Why do you need to have to bring a raya from the halacha of the well? V'amayloi teimalei migufa. Why don't you bring him a raya from the actual rice of the rain itself? Which proves my point. Why? Because if you propose, or if Safra proposed, you can't make a raya from the brisa which says that if it rained there of Yom Tov, that rain is bound to a tchum of 2,000. You can't make a raya that hefker gets shvisa. Why? Perhaps we're speaking about rain which is close to the city, which is intended for the city dweller's use, and therefore it gets the tchum of the city. Says Rav Yosef, you could have responded to him, and disproven him as follows. If you propose that that's the situation, rain which is near the city, and that's why they get shvisa, what does the brisa say? The brisa says that the rain which falls in Erev Yom Tov can be carried only within a radius of 2,000 amma, indicating that it has its own personal independent shvisa. According to Yerav Safra, that attributes this water to the city, and therefore it gets the tchum of who? Of the residents of the city. It's a different type of tchum. One who lives in the city, he can transfer throughout the city and also 2,000 beyond. It's a different type of equation. So why does the brisa say that this water can only be taken 2,000 amma at a radius from its present location? Which is a totally different type of shear. If you propose, we're speaking about rain which is near the city and attains the shvisa of the city, why does the brisa say it gets 2,000 in all directions, which implies that it's its own independent shvisa, because it's a chavetz of hefker, which is kind of shvisa? The brisa should have said it can be carried where the members of the city can walk. If it's connected and related to their shvisa, then the shvisa of this water should be the same and identical to the shvisa of the residents of the city. The fact that the brisa says it gets its own 2,000 amma indicates that the founder Rabbi Chamanuri holds that a chefetz of hefker gets its own personal shvisa. So in summary, regarding kinyan shvisa, so in the first mission we learned that if a person happened to be within the boundary of a city unknowingly, according to a mayor, it doesn't work. He gets his own personal shvisa, of course, 2,000 in all directions, but he's not considered like the members of the city who can walk throughout the city freely, plus 2,000 in all directions. According to Rami, you need to have kavana to become like a member of that city. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no kavana is necessary. Since you're within the confines, within the boundary of that city, you automatically are considered like a member of that city. We learned that a person who's near, who's awake, certainly gets shvisa. Possessions of a person have the same boundary as the person himself. What about a person who's sleeping? Or a chevetz of hefker? Going to Rabbanon, these things are not kind of shvisa. So a person who's sleeping, he only gets 4 amis. A chevetz which is hefker is not bound at all. Whoever picks it up can take it to where he needs to go. According to Rabbi Chanuri, in both cases, they get your standard shvisa of 2,000 amma in all directions. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mar, we just learned in the Braisa, that according to Rabbi Chanuri, if rain arrived in Erev Yom Tov, it has its trum, because Hefker gets 2,000 amma in either direction. However, be Yom Tov, if the rain only arrived on Yom Tov, Hari Hein Keragel Kol Adam, then it doesn't have its own independent chum. Rather, a person who fills the water can take that water to whichever location he can walk, because this water doesn't have its own independent chum. Then what about Amai? Why not? Likni shvisa b'yukyainis. Let this water have attained shvisa when it was still back in the yukyainis, in the ocean, at sea. So since it attained shvisa at that point, prior to its evaporation and having been formed into clouds, which then produced this rain. So since it was back at sea during Ben HaShemashis, what happens? It gets a shvisa, it gets a tchum. And now, since it went out of its tchum, beyond its 2,000 amos, it's like a person who went out of its tchum, like a chevetz, which is Yotzach HaTchum. What happens? It only has 4 amos. Why does the Brice allow him to transfer this water throughout? Likni shvisa b'yikyanis. Leimad leker b'lezer. Perhaps we're not following our b'lezer. Dikar Blazer, because according to him, Ha'amar, he said, Kol Oilam Kulay, Mi Mei Ukyainis Ushois. The entire world gets its water from the Ukyainis, from the water of the seas. In contrast, Rabbi Yeshua says, Mina Kipo Ushois. The world drinks from the Kipo, which is the environment, the atmosphere. Now, apparently, both elements are present in rain, the evaporation from the bodies of water down below, in addition to the moisture which accumulates from the environment, from the atmosphere. The question is, halachically speaking, what is considered to be the primary ingredient of the rain? According to Rabbi Elazar, the primary element is the water, which is drawn from down below. So according to him, when it rains on Yom Tov, this rain should be regarded as something which was down at sea during Ben HaShemashis, attained the Shvisa, and now is Yotzach HaTchum. Says the Gemara, Omer B'Yitzchak, Hocha Ba'avim Sh'niskashu, we're speaking about rain which was produced by clouds, which were niskash from Erev Yom Tov, which were formed from before Yom Tov. They were already up there, before Ben HaShemashis. So this rain was not at sea during Ben HaShemashis, and therefore never was kind of shvisa. V'dil mahanach azli, perhaps these, the ones that he noticed during Ben HaShemashis, have already dispersed. V'hanach achrine ninu, and the ones that actually produced the rain are other clouds, which only formed after Ben HaShemashis. In which case, the water in them, perhaps was at sea during Ben HaShemashis. The Islu Siman of Gavah, you have a siman to recognize, yes, these are the ones that were here before Ben HaShemashis. Liboy Yisema, another pshat. Maybe there's uncertainty. Makes a suffix. Have a suffix devreim. So it's a suffix involving a din de rabban, tchum and de rabbanon. For suffix devreim lahakul. Any suffix which is de devreim, which applies to a de rabbanon, like tchumen, who meant to go lukula. Therefore, in this case, we don't restrict the water which arrived on Yom Tov. We assume that it was up in the sky during Ben HaShemashis and never was kain shvisa. V'likn shvisa b'avim. Why can't it be kain shvisa while it's still in its cloud form, up in the sky? In which case, we have the same problem. It left its boundary. It's down below. It's chus l'tchum. It can only be taken 4 hours. Tifshit mino de'en tchumen l'mala miyud. Should we conclude from this that the concept of tchum doesn't apply above 10 tefachim? This was a question we asked early in the Gemara. Whether or not the restrictions of tchum apply when something is beyond 10 tefachim off the ground. It's not your makam hiluch. So this brisa, which seems to indicate that water which was in the cloud during Ben Shemashis never acquired Shvisa, seems to indicate that above 10 has no Shvisa. The Eish Tchumen, because if Tchumen do apply above 10, Likni Shvisa above, why doesn't this water get Shvisa while it's in the clouds? La'ilam Eivalach, certainly we can say Yeish Tchumen. The restrictions of Tchumen do apply above 10. Umaya Be'iva Mevlabli. However, water within the clouds, when it's still in vapor form, it's embedded, it's absorbed in the clouds, meaning it's not the same water which came down as rain. Now it's tangible, now it's real water. This wasn't there in the clouds. When it was in cloud form, it wasn't really tangible, it was vapor. This water here, down below, the one that arrived on Yom Tov, wasn't the same thing as was in the clouds. And therefore, this water was never kind of Shvisa. Says them, if that's the case, it makes things worse. Koshkin, the Havalunoyel, Vastasiri. If it was produced on Yom Tov, it's a new creation, then it's Mokts. It can't even be moved around. It's Noilat. It was undesignated. Tosis points out that even according to Shimon, who generally does not hold Noilat to be a problem of Mokts, but here it's a brand new thing, it's a Devar Chodesh, new creation. Even he would agree. It's Mokts. Says it were Ella, rather as follows. Maya Ba'avim Meinad Naiti. Let's not say the water that was produced on Yom Tov is considered to be something new. Water, vapor, it's the same thing. It's closely related. That's not the reason. The reason is because Maya Ba'avim, water within the clouds, made it 90, I'm moving around. Something in transit doesn't get Shvisa. Shvisa means I'm here, this is my place, this is my boundary. Something which is moving around in transit, like a cloud, is never kind of Shvisa. Says the Gemara, Hashda Asa L'Hachi. Now that you've come to this conclusion, let's go back to our original question. We had a kasha. Perhaps this rainwater was at sea during Ben HaShemashes. And was kind of Shvisa there. So based on this answer, we can address that as well. Hashd as lahachi. Now that we can come to this conclusion that something which is moving doesn't get Shvisa. Ukainis nami leilik shilach. The question regarding the ukainis, the water at sea, that too won't be difficult. Why? Maya b'ukainis nami main at 90. That water as well is in transit, is in motion. V'tanya, nahara is hamoishchem, flowing rivers. And springs which are gushing forth, which are in motion, they don't have their own shvisa. Rather, whoever fills this water could just take it along with him to wherever he can go. Why? Because something which is in motion is not kinyan shvisa. So, in summary, rain which arrived on Erev Yom Tov, certainly according to Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, is limited to a tchum of 2,000 amma, because it was down here during Ben HaShemashes. However, rain which arrived only on Yom Tov, it doesn't have its own tchum. You can take it to wherever you go. And the reason is, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, it was never kind of Shvisa due to the fact that it was constantly in motion during Ben HaShemashes. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a discussion of people that are going out to rescue others, Yotzim Lahatzel. The Gemara tells us they're meant to go back home with their weapons. Now, how far can they go? So that depends. If the Israelim were victorious, then they're limited to only 2,000 amma. However, if they were not victorious, then there's still danger present. They can go all the way back home, even if it involves traveling more than 2,000 amma. The Gemara told us about Nochem Shetzaru, Alay Yoris Yisrael, if the Nochem are laying siege to a city of Yisraelim, went to confront them with weapons, the Machal Shabbos. If they came out Iskei Nefashis, they're actually physically threatening the Yisraelim, or it's a border city which needs to be protected at all costs. We learned that if one stops on the road, and unbeknown to him, he's within the tchum of a city, according to our mayor, he doesn't automatically get that tchum, because he needs to have kavana for that to happen. He gets his own tchum, 2,000 amma in each direction. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he gets the tchum of the city. We learned that a person who's awake Ben HaShemashes, he gets shvisa. The possessions of a person get shvisa. However, a person that's asleep during Ben HaShemashes, or a chefetz of hefker, according to Rabbanon, there's no shvisa there. According to Rabbi Yecham Nuri, there is, and we conclude, according to all Shidas, something which is in transit, moving during Ben HaShemashes, will not get Shvisa.